All right, we're there? Okay. Shalom, Mishvaha Shali, my family, my brothers and sisters in Yeshua HaMashiach. This is Soldiers for Christ, Rishon Messianic Bible College, and we are on lesson what, Pastor Ben? 13? Wow, okay. So this is a good day for our subject today, and a good day to learn some new Hebrew. I want to get your input on how to proceed in learning basic conversational Hebrew that will speed you up some. I don't want to force you to buy a book. My favorite book is, I'll show it to you before we pray in, is this book. See what it says? It used to say Hebrew in 10 minutes. But this is not Hebrew in 10 minutes. You know what book this really is? Hebrew for Dummies. But I covered it up because I said there's no dumb person that can learn Hebrew. Okay? So I put another cover over it. Hebrew in 10 minutes. But if you want to get Hebrew for Dummies, you can cover up the front cover too, because it just is an oxymoron. You can't. Hebrew is very intellectual language, and there's no way it can be for dummies. But I will admit that the young lady who wrote this book did an excellent job on teaching you all of the basics of Hebrew, and it has 28 basic conversations in it. Okay, so if you want to get this book, you can get it, and we'll go through all 28 conversations. Then on your own, you can learn additional Hebrew. But we can go through each of the 28 conversations, and I can explain the plural and how the conversation went, and that'll help move along your conversational Hebrew better. Now, if you don't want to purchase the book, I can still send you the conversation for that week, and then you can learn it in class. I think we have them on CD, but I think, you know, I'm not gonna ask Pastor Ben to mail out 189 CDs. But we will go over each of the 28 conversations each week. But if you do buy the book, it will come with a CD that will not only teach you the 28 conversations, but a little bit extra in Hebrew that you might know as such, pronouncing the letters. Okay, so there's something that I want you to learn in Hebrew today, but let's pray first and move in. I hope you guys were able to watch last night, because the Lord has been good to me, and my prayer is answered. I really don't think we're going to be able to finish the 2 years in this class, but like I said, we will figure it out when we get there. Okay, so let's pray in. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer today. Avanu Shaba Shaba Im Yi Kadeshimcha Talvo Mehuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka Be Aretz Ke Asher Ne Asa Be Shamaim Tin Lano Hayom Lech Kumukenu Usilak Lano Etash Metenu Ke Asher Solechem Anaknu Le Asher Ashmelanu ואל תביאנו לידי מסע, כי אם חזילנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגברה והתפארת לעולמי לעולמים, אמן. בשם ישוע המשיח אנחנו תלפים היום. All right, and let's get started. We are going to study for today from our book, and let me make sure that I brought that book with me. It doesn't matter if I did anyway, because we are going to be talking about a very important subject of the Hebrew, which is the gospel in the stars. I wanted to go over this message today only because I need to show you that it is absolutely true that the whole Bible is in the star constellations, okay? I didn't bring my class book today, I don't think, Pastor Ben. But it doesn't matter because I don't need it. We're going to be in this book, which if you haven't bought it, I mean, it's just a... And the three pages that we promised you, Pastor Ben is going to find that and get it emailed out to you tonight. I thought I had it and could send it out to you, but I didn't have it. I had given it to Pastor Ben, so he does have it. And so we'll get that out to you tonight, which will give you the whole story of the gospel. And it uses all of the Hebrew names for all of the stars. So as it's giving you the names, because only God knew the gospel when he put the stars in the sky, because he didn't have any men yet, right? Because it was on the fourth day. So God gave all the stars names, and all of the stars are referenced inside of the scriptures so that you'll know the story that those stars are telling and the scripture that it follows, okay? But the first written book was the stars in the gospel, and it was the first thing that Satan tried to corrupt was the star constellations. So I mean, that's how you got Horus and Osiris and all of these, Zeus and all of this. These are all just stolen artifacts from the Maturoth, and God hated that these people were destroying his Maturoth. Okay. Before we get into that, we need to learn a little Hebrew. So I'm going to go over to the board. And here's another word I want us to... Okay. Now, we already know ani, right? Ani means I. Anachnu means we, okay? So now we're going to go over this so that you understand the Hebrew, okay? Atim is if I'm addressing a multitude of people, okay? Atim, okay? Chin is if I wanted to say to Pastor Ben, they want more Hebrew, okay? Him rotzim od ivrit, okay? Now, listen to what I just said. I said him. Okay, because if I say ane rotze, you guys know that right now, right? I want ane rotze. But if I say him, I'm saying they, that's a multitude of people, rotzim. Okay, what did I just add? So I say him rotzim. What is that on the for Hebrew? I am is a what? Is an S. So remember, this is always going to turn into a plural when you're talking about more, a plural amount of people. So I don't just I wrote say, ane wrote say, him wrote seen. Anachnu with what? Rotzim, because it's we, right? We want. Okay? Of course, I'm speaking to a multitude of people. That's the same thing. Okay, now this is the part I was telling Pastor Ben. If you want to say he in Hebrew, you have to say, if you want to say he in Hebrew, you have to say who. Like, mahu rotze. What does he want? Okay, mahu rotze, what does he want? Now, if you want to say she in Hebrew, you got to say mahi rotze. And that used to be driving me nuts in Hebrew, because every time I wanted to address a guy, I would want to say a girl, I would want to say she. And I knew I couldn't say he if it was a girl, but anyway, you'll get used to it, okay? So mahi rotze means what does she want? Mahu rotze, what does he want? Now, let's talk about the plural more. Sus is a horse, okay? Susim, what did we just do? We added the S, I am. Because remember, El is God. Jesus said on the cross, Eloi, Eli, Eli is my God. Okay? Elohim
I just added an S. Gods. Elohim is gods. Now, this is written in it's a plural word, but it's written in a singular subject matter in the book of Genesis. So you don't have to get crazy and say, see, there's more than one God. No, God knew that he was a plural God. He knew that he was a Trinity when he spoke, okay? So, the I am on the end of the word is going to give you an S. Ani rotze, anachnu rotzim, him rotzim, okay? He, she rotze, okay? Who rotze, okay? Now, you say, I see a horse. Ani roe hasus. I see the horse. I see the horse. So it's a sus. That's only one. Now, if it's more than one, I'm going to say susim. That could be a male. This is male. Or if it's male and females. So if you're talking about, if you're in a room and you're talking about males and females being in the room, you can still use the word rotzim, okay? We'll talk about it if it's all women in the next class. Now, susim, okay, now if they're female horses, I can't say, now I know these are all female horses, okay? Say some guy says, hey, I need some female horses. He said, hakol susot. They're all female, okay? So all of those, okay, are susot. I'm going to say, because now it's female, this becomes the S, the O-T. That's why you have Shavuot, because week is a feminine word. I need to explain something to you. Everything in Hebrew is male and female, okay? So, when you're reading in the book and you start reading about wisdom, you know you saw, oh, and she did this, and wisdom, I saw her standing there. Wisdom is a feminine word. So, therefore, it's spoken of as being feminine. But it doesn't mean that there's a woman in heaven called wisdom. You understand? So, somebody go, who is this woman called wisdom that is, you know, guiding us? I'm like, no, wisdom is just a female word, and the language is female. Now, if I'm going to translate it from Hebrew to English, I'm going to have to address it in a feminine way, because it's going to be written in a feminine way. So they say she, wisdom, is looking after you. She has wisdom. But it's only means that it's a feminine word, okay? So, that's it. It's like I said, there's no dummies studying Hebrew. So I want you to make sure that you write this down. And here is another word for you. Mishfacha. Mishfacha is family. Okay? Mishfacha is family. Now, if you want to say it's my family, it's Mishfaha Sheli. If it's, oh, I don't know if we can get into that. Okay, the Mishfaha Sheli, Mishfaha Shelcha is his family. Mishfaha Shelach is her family. Mishfaha Shelachim is their family. So as we're going, you'll be able to understand when I'm speaking the language, when I'm turning from singular to plural, how I'm doing it. Okay, so Shavuot, I like Shalosh Shavuot. Okay, I'm gonna show you Shalosh Shavuot. Okay, I'm gonna leave that there for a little while. Then Pastor Ben will be able to go back to it. So we're gonna get into our Bible study today. Let's see, so you got that? You got that board for them? Okay. Here we go. Now, last week we were talking about the star constellations. Oh, and the beauty of them and how they are speaking to us day after day, night after night. The star constellations are speaking to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. We learned last week about the Virgin Mary and the Virgin Mary constellation, which they call Virgo, which God calls,
what is the name for it? Means virgin in Hebrew. My glasses, please. Where's my Hebrew word? Oh, yeah. Bethula, okay? Bethula, which means virgin, okay? So this Bethula, who's in the sky, and then, of course, we saw that Bethula's going to have a son. Bethula's son is going to be a sacrificed lamb. All of these things that we learned. And then we learned about the scales, okay? And we learned that the scales was the price that was going to be paid. And that he would be, that the son would end up being a sacrifice lamb. But after becoming a sacrifice lamb, we looked at another constellation, which was a crown that's also in one of the 48 constellations. And it showed us that this sacrifice lamb is going to be a king. Now, we're just getting started, you guys. Now, we have this person, Scorpio, okay? Now, one thing I detest, since I've learned about this, I hate when people try to say, oh, I'm a Scorpio, or I'm a Virgo, or I'm a Sagittarius, or I'm a this, because you can't be any of them, because God didn't put any of them in the sky having anything to do with the day that you were born, okay? That's witchcraft, okay? So, you're not a Scorpio and you're not a Sagittarius. This is an abomination to God, okay? It is something that that pagans do that God doesn't want his people to do. So, you have this thing, and it's a huge look like a scorpion in the sky with a stinger tail sticking out. And I'm going to give you the Hebrew name for Scorpio. So it says the Hebrew name is Akrab, which means the conflict or the war. Okay, so this constellation talks about a war that is going to take place. Okay, and the war that is going to take place is between the man. Now you got to understand, we're not talking about the end time, because we haven't got to the end time yet. We're gonna get to the end time, because remember, the gospel is telling us a story. We're talking about a conflict between a man and the scorpion, or a man and the snake. Now, we have two Adams. The first Adam lost big time. He lost what? Rulership and authority, okay? Now, once he lost that, God had already planned that a second man would come into the earth, that the snake would now have to fight against this man. So now when Jesus comes to earth, his main objective is to defeat Satan on this ground that God had built. Remember, Satan is now someone who came in and he's taken the land from Adam, and the land still belongs to Adam. So when Christ comes, he not only has to redeem what Adam lost, meaning the earth, but he has to redeem Adam's authority, okay? Now, what was Adam's authority? God had given him everything, and he gave him authority over everything. So he had authority. Now, when this second man comes, now he's going to fight against the snake, okay? And you got to see the levels of conflict that he goes through, okay? I want to get to, okay, here we are. Okay, now, we know that Scorpio or a crab is going to be the main constellation. Now what are we going to have? Three decans. What are the decans? They are the sub-stories. These are the subplot constellations that are going to tell you what Scorpio is going to do. Okay? So, the Aqrab, first thing, has the serpent and Orphicus. Okay? So, the serpent and Orphicus, now this means the struggle with the enemy. Okay? So, the war is about what? A struggle that's going to be against an enemy, okay? And the enemy is Serpine, which is the serpent, but Orphicus is the title of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to show you who Orphicus is, because Orphicus means he that holds the snake, okay? Let me look through here. Now, let me look. Okay. So, Orphicus is the person who holds the snake, and the snake is Serpine, okay, or the serpent, okay? And Orphicus is standing in the middle of the sky like this, holding this snake in his hand. And he's strong enough to do it, okay, because his struggle is going to be against this snake. Now, the snake, if you could see how the snake is. Now, this is what you need to know and understand, okay? They had first and second together, okay? So, huh? No, I'm not going to First Peter. I'm good. Okay, now look. The first decan is the serpent. The second decan is Orphicus. The first decan says there's a war. The second decan says the first one says Scorpio, there's a conflict, there's a war. The second says the conflict, who the conflict is with, the serpent, the snake. And then you have the second decan is Orphicus, is this strong man, and he's holding this snake, okay? Now, when we get to the third decan, I want you to hold this one up, Pastor Ben, because this is very important. The third decan is called Hercules, okay? So the third decan, the third decan in the sky is Hercules. What do we know about Hercules? It's a strong man, right? Okay. Let me have that back, Pastor Ben. I'm going to read to them something. Okay. Now, since let's see if it reads correctly, because who goes forth like a strong man. Okay? Now, in Psalms chapter 19, and this is the story about the stars, it says, the heaven declare the glory of God. The sky proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into the earth, their words into the end of the world. Listen to that. The words that the stars are speaking are telling us the beginning to the end of the world. And it says, in the heaven he has pitched a tent like the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a strong man rejoicing to run his course, or a champion rejoicing to run his course. So, this strong man is Hercules. Now, Hercules is standing, or actually he's kneeling on one knee. He has one a knee on the ground, holding up his heel as if it has been wounded. And he has in his hand, can they see that when you showed it to him?
He has in his hand a three-headed snake. He doesn't have a snake with one head. He's holding a snake with three heads. Okay? And in the other hand, he has a big club, which he's about to destroy the head of the serpent. Okay? So now, this serpent that he's holding in his hand, this is a true story. You know, I would love to study this, like just actually have the telescope to look at all of this. But he's holding in his hand a snake with three serpent heads, and Hercules is about to destroy the snake, okay? This is the conflict that is taking place. So what is it with this whole thing about there being this strong man coming to destroy the snake? And there being three of them, because it's one snake, right? But it's three heads. So they're a unity of power, but they're fighting together to destroy who? The Messiah that's coming to be king. Okay, I'm going to see if I can find it. I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Samuel. It might be in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. Okay, I think it's in 2 Kings, and it may be 2 Kings, and the angel and Eli, Tishbi, and Elijah, and they're going to Ekron, and the boy. No. Okay, it's in 1 Kings. It's going to be... Yes, it's in 1 Kings, okay? 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, remember... Hamishva Hashali, my family, listen. Smile. If God is going to tell you a story in the New Testament... He first has to tell it to you where? In the Torah. If it's not in the Torah, then you can't make it up in the New Testament. Everything Jesus went through was already written in the Torah. You understand? So all the prophecies that you say are going to be fulfilled, my thing is when somebody wants to argue with me about first mid-trib, post-trib, I say, well, show it to me in Torah. Because if you can't show me a mid-trib tribulation in the Torah, you shouldn't be able to show me a mid-trib tribulation in the New Testament, okay? Because you say, well, there's not no going to be a rapture at all. Well, show it to me in the Torah. Because if it is, the base of that, what you're telling me, is going to be in the Torah, okay? But now, if I'm telling you about the rapture, I'm going to show you everything based on the Torah. I'm going to show you that Adam, that God made a bride for Adam, and that bride came out of his side, and God brought the bride to Adam. That means Adam didn't have to go get his bride. So the Torah is telling me that the bride's going to be delivered to the son, or to the first Adam or the second Adam, okay? Everything. Or if I tell you about Moses going to rescue the Hebrews, when he went to go rescue the Hebrews, guess what he did? He put his wife on the donkey too with all of the children and said, we're going to Egypt because we're going to rescue my people. So you can see, why would he bring his wife back with him to rescue Israel? Okay, but God is trying to tell you a story. When Messiah comes, when the second Moses, the greater Moses comes, he's coming with his bride. You understand? So anyway, that I'm telling you that to tell you this, because I'm talking to you about three that are going to fight against the Messiah. And here they are, okay? In the book of Kings, okay? Chapter 1, it says, when David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm when they put covers on him. So his servant said to him, let us look for a virgin to attend
the king and take care of him, and she can lie beside him so that our Lord King may keep warm. Then they search throughout the whole thing, and they found Abishag the Shunammite. Okay, so now, so they found this woman, and she's going to take care of the king. But in verse 5, it says, now Adonijah, what does Adonijah mean? It means the Lord my God. This guy has a title that he's a god, okay? Adonijah, whose mother was Haggai, put himself forward and said, I will be king. This is what he did, okay? Now, David has a son, and David is old in age. Who has David already said is going to be king after him? Solomon, right? But here he has this half-brother named Adonijah, and he says, well, my dad's getting old. I'm just going to take it upon myself and make myself king. Okay? So now he says, okay. It says, so he got chariots and horses ready with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never interfered with him by asking, why do you behave as you do? He was also very handsome and was born next to Absalom. So Adonijah conferred. So he got together with a guy named Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest. And they gave him their support. Okay, so now Adonijah puts himself to be king, and he goes and finds two more people that are going to help him fulfill this takeover. They're going to take over the throne. How are they taking it over? They know Solomon's supposed to be king, but they're putting themselves forward to be king. And then the whole story goes. So then it says, Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Uriah, and Abiathar, the priest. Now, you see, he has a priest, a false prophet, right? What do you think Joab was? The leader of the army. So he has military strength, and he has a priest. So he has a false prophet, military strength, and you have a false king. Okay? Now, they decide that they're going to go forward and do this. The problem is, once they do it, they find out, someone goes back and says, hey, David, to David's wife, he says, didn't you say that Solomon's going to be king? Why do you have these three people going forth and making Adonijah king when you said Solomon would be king? So David said, no, this will not be. So David had all the army go with Solomon, and he said, put Solomon on a donkey and ride him through and let them parade through and let them shout, long live the king, and let them know that Solomon is going to be king. Adonijah hears. He hears the real king coming, and the sound of it is thunderous to the point where he is afraid. Okay? He seizes Adonijah, binds him into prison, right, at the end. And so there you have the story of the Messiah, Yeshua, okay? So I want you to understand this. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I believe. Now remember, the victory that the second Adam won for us happened on the cross. Okay? The constellation Scorpio is talking about a specific battle that took place between a man and a serpent. And the man's heel was struck. And the man won the battle over the serpent.
But when he won the battle, you know what he did? In winning the battle, he took back authority, right? So now Adam can control everything that God told him that he could control before, but now he doesn't have full authority. He's kind of like, he hasn't taken over his full heritage yet. He's like that kid who's a king, but he's in. So he has to use the name of authority, which is Jesus Christ. So we're Adams, we're living in this place, and God has won back the authority for us, but the authority for us is in the name of Yeshua. I forgot to tell you something. In the sky, this snake is wrapping around this pole, okay? And it's wrapping around this pole, and one of the stars speaks of medicine or healing, okay? So when he won the victory, remember, in the Old Testament, they saw a snake wrapped around a pole, okay? And he says, whosoever looks upon this pole will be healed, right? So all the people were sick. So they looked to the serpent on the pole and they were healed. Well, he said, this is a prophecy of a coming person who is going to be on a pole, and the serpent is going around the pole like this. And now what is this guy going to do on the pole? He's going to heal, okay? He's going to heal the nation. So if you go to like most hospitals today, you have this cross, but you got this serpent wrapped around the pole, and it's for the medical. But they stole that symbol from the star constellation, because the person that dies on the cross, even though the serpent has wrapped around, it's going to control the serpent, destroy him, and win back your healing. So now our healing is also being paid for on that cross. He's won us back. He's won back the land, the earth, and everything has been won back to Christ. That's why when we get there, there's only one person that can open the seals, because he's the only person that has paid the price to repurchase all of this. Okay? So, let's continue, because I wanted you to see this one thing in Revelation chapter 20, and I believe, I hope it's not in 21, is it in 21:10? Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Okay, yeah, this is it. Revelation chapter 21, 10. I mean 20, verse 10. Okay. Now it says here, it says, the devil, okay, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake burning with sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. Do you see that? So it seems to me that here we are in the book of Revelation, and the Messiah comes back, and he's going to destroy, and he's going to destroy this false power. But I'll read from verse 9. It says, they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, which was Jerusalem. Okay? That's the end time war. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake burning with sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. So that's three people. That's three. That's a three-headed snake, but they all came to do what? To destroy the people of God in the end time. They were moving toward Jerusalem so that they could bring all armies and nations against them to destroy them. But God makes sure that you know that it wasn't just the devil. There's the false prophet working with him, and there's the beast also working with him. And now he says all three of them get thrown into the lake of fire. What do you think happened to Adonijah and Joab and Abathar? All got punished. Why? Because you're trying to take over what God has already said. I already have a king, right? They're trying to assert authority over the earth, and their last mission they tried to do was to come against Jerusalem, but they were destroyed. Why? Because Psalms 19 says a strong man is coming, and he's running his course from the beginning to the end of the earth, and the star constellations are telling us his whole story, okay? Let me see if there's any more in this section
of Scorpio that you need to understand. Okay, 91:11. I don't know why that is, but it's telling me to look at Psalms chapter 91, verse 11. So I'm going to read that, and then we're going to finish up. Let's go back to Psalms. Psalm 91. Yes, Psalms 91. It may not have anything to do with it. But it's telling me to read this with this lesson, and I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. 11 to 13. Yeah, 91:11-13. And it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon lions and on cobras and trample the great lion and the serpent." So see what it's saying here? This serpent, God is promising you that the one that's coming is going to tread upon the serpent. He's going to place him under his foot. Our God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is a strong man. You know what? Jesus said something. He said, you can't take a strong man's house unless you bind him up first. You know what I mean? Unless you bind him up. And he said, so if you're able to whip me, then you can take my house. But he's going to show you that this strong man is well able to protect his house from the beast that's coming. Because we're at that point where we're toward the end time, where he's going to get his opportunity to see if he can assert authority over the whole world and become king. And the people that God says are his chosen people are going to select the wrong guy and make him king over the whole earth. And Israel is going to tell the whole world that the Antichrist is the Messiah. You know? So this whole deception is going to be a horrible thing until the real king comes at the end of the 7 years, and I say in 6 months because we'll be gone before that. We'll come at the end of the 7th year and destroy the three-headed snake, like the star constellation in the sky says. The real Hercules will come and destroy this three-headed beast. There's a three-headed beast in the world right now, and I'm just saying this because I want you to look it up. Three cities in the world that they own the country, but they don't belong to the country. What are they? Washington, D.C. does not belong to the United States. The Vatican does not belong to Italy. It controls Italy. And London City. London City does not belong there to them. It belongs to the Rothschilds and to the money bankers, okay? So you have three cities in the world that are called city-states that the countries do not control. And so you have these three snakes, okay? You have the false prophet, which is the Vatican. You have that beast, that strong military might, which is the United States. And you have that money source that says that we're controlling everything, which is the Lords of London, which is the Rothschilds. So now you understand that God is fighting against a three-headed beast even now, today, in this system. Okay? Where are we at? What much time? 15. Okay, I'm done, though. But so we can't. So let's review our Hebrew. And then we're going to be done. I wanted you to understand that message today. Okay, now. Ane rotze anapnu rotzim. Ane rotze mashehu leokhel. I want something to eat, right? I want something to eat. Anapnu rotzim mashehu leochelim. We want something to eat, okay? Or him rotzim mashehu leochelim, okay? And then it says he is she, so we say he rotze what? Let's use a something feminine. Okay, he wrote say leo quelet, or he wrote sot mashehu, and who is he? And sus is horse, susim is horse plural masculine, susot is horses plural, but they all have to be feminine. Remember, if you have one
male horse among these, all these feminine horses, you have to use the word susim, okay? But if all of them are feminine, you would use the word susot, which is, now, mishvacha is family, and you are my mishvacha, be Yeshua HaMashiach. We all have the same bloodline. And so you are my mishvacha sheli, my family. Now, and so you could say that mishvacha shelach, her family, mishvacha shelcha, his family, okay? Mishvacha shelanu, remember, anachnu, mishvacha shelanu, shel, belonging to, shel means belonging to, right? Okay, this is shelim, it means belonging to me, okay? Shel means belonging to, okay? So, mishvaha sheli, mishvaha shelach, mishvaha shelachim, and so this is how we're going to begin to learn the plural. And so let me know if you guys want to get the book, and if you can't afford to get the book, that's okay. We're going to start next week on 28 conversations from the book, and we'll learn each conversation. And while we're learning those conversations, we're going to learn the plurals, because in every conversation there'll be switching from plural to singular to masculine to feminine. So then we'll be able to go through and say, why did he use this word instead of this word? And then you'll be able to see how you interact the plural and the feminine and the masculine within a sentence in the Hebrew. Okay? So we're going to get started next week. We'll have our first Hebrew conversation from the book. And you'll be able to practice that all week and then come back and do that. Hallelujah. And let's... Sorry if somebody said something. Okay.
You just seem so happy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so let's pray out. I want to say thank you to everybody for taking the class. Some people have had to step away from the class because we know you have life and you have things to do as well, and it's hard to keep up with all of this. But please continue watching. If you want to get the Hebrew book and continue following, you can watch this whenever you want. You know, when the kids are asleep, you can watch this. And then you'll still be able to learn those 28 conversations. Those 28 conversations are going to teach you how to order food in Israel. They're going to teach you how to check into a hotel. They're going to teach you how to greet someone, say hello, ask where they're from. It'll teach you many things that you need that are day-to-day conversations in Israel, so that you could get through a whole day without saying "Sliha, ane lo medebi ivrit, ata yekole azuli." You know, I don't speak Hebrew. Can you help me? But you'll be able to speak your own Hebrew when you get there. Praise God. All right, and let's pray out.
Any homework?
Huh?
No homework, right?
No, you're going to get the homework tonight, right?
Not yet.
He's going to send out the constellations, all 48 stars and their names, so that you can look through it and see the whole gospel that is written in them. I can't wait to show you the rapture in the stars, because you're going to see the bride in the heavens. It's one of the constellations, which people don't understand, that this bride is first in the earth, and she's bound in chains, and then all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the next daycon, she's in heaven and she has no chains on her, and she's sitting next to the king. So that's God telling you the story of this bride. Okay, now, okay, let's sing our way out of here. This is my song, right? Yivareka Adonai veYishmareka, Ya'er Adonai panavilecha veChuneka, Yaseh Adonai panavilecha veYasim lecha shalom, veYasim lecha shalom. And it says, "Bless my people," you say to them, commanding Moses.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody.
All righty.